Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring, and I really need to give you a quick update on all our health challenges that the Herrings have been facing. I continue to get better, though I'm not technically back to work yet. Mom Herring continues to amaze us with her bounce back ability, but she's certainly done it before, so I don't know why we should be surprised. Harold, however, is still in rehab. And now that Mom's on 24/7 care, I've been able to get a little bit more involved and hopefully have lit a fire under the motivation for his progress, because I need him home where he belongs. So now, today, we're going to talk about money. You know, we're blessed that we have In God We Trust on our money, since that actually only came to pass in 1955 and was first printed on paper money in 1957. Not that long ago, and at least it's there for now. But the real question that Harold and I have talked about in times past is, in God do we trust? 1 Timothy 6:17, New King James Version, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. We are directed to trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us the power to prosper because he said he would in Deuteronomy 8:18. Yet we often get blinded to who it is who really brings wealth into our lives. You know, even if you were raised in a Christian home, money is a central part of life. And God was probably seldom spoken in the same sentence with anything financial. We all know that we need to recognize who our source really truly is. In other words, let's not trust in money, let's trust in God first. That sounds so simple and in principle, well, it is. But in reality, let's face it, we are wired to trust in money and not necessarily God first. We spend a lot of time and a lot of money gaining an education to secure a job, to work hard and find ways toward job security. Everything costs money. While planning is good, you cannot trust more on the plan than on God's ability to carry out his plan. And there is no doubt God wants us to use money to get his work done. But just as clearly, he doesn't want us to trust in those means. In Proverbs 21:31, it says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Therefore, we may need confidence in the horse that we're riding, but the Lord God is the one who will bring us the victory. In Psalm 20, verse 7, very similar. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So here are seven things we should know about trusting in God over money. Number one, trust means giving God full control of our lives and our money. It is often through money, though, God can clearly show us that he is in total control. Trusting him is taking our position as a steward of his possessions, not our own. Matthew 6:32 and 33 in the Classic Amplified says, for the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. These two verses, as we've often said, really reveal a divine progression. God first, then he provides everything else. Number two, trust builds our trustworthiness in our finances. You know, if God can trust us with money, he can trust us with greater responsibility and true riches. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In Strong's Concordance, the word mammon, we brought up before, is G3126, and it is a Greek word that means riches, where it is personified and is opposed to God. This verse is actually saying that mammon is when money is a rival to God. It opposes his desires and his plans. We've spoken about this before, but it's really interesting to note that the Syrians served a god called Mammon. Additionally, the Syrians were the first people to create a system of loaning money. And you want to guess what it was called? Yep, it was called Mammon. When you're up to your eyeballs in debt and paying interest and continually worried about money running out before the month does, then your riches are being used in a way that is opposed to God's purposes. In Luke 16:11-12, it says, if you cannot be trusted with worldly riches, then who will trust you with true riches? And if you can't be trusted with things that belong to someone else, who will give you things of your own? God wants us trusting in him so he can provide us with his true riches. Number three, trust gives God a chance to prove his love. I love some of this. Scripture tells us that God assumes the responsibility of providing basic necessities for everyone who trusts in him. In Matthew 7:11, Amplified Bible, it says, if you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? Think of that. There are times when we prevent God from proving his love for us by trusting the world to meet our financial needs instead of him. Malachi 3:10, we've read this so many times, but it bears repeating. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The verse contains the only time in Scripture where it says, God says, prove me. The New Living Translation of Malachi 3:10 puts it this way, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour you out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. That, as we know, is a matter of trust. Number four, trust brings an opportunity for God to work miracles. Hebrews 11:1-6. Hebrews 11:1-6, New International Version says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then it goes on to say, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11 is filled with examples of men and women who saw God work miracles amid their circumstances, people whose weakness was turned to strength. When we trust in God, he will give us opportunities to showcase his power. And I found one of the most amazing scriptures in my new Passion Translation, which I truly love. It's Psalm 50:15. Psalm 50:15, listen to this carefully. Honor me by trusting me in your day of trouble. Think of that. Honor me by trusting me in your day of trouble. Cry aloud to me and I will be there to rescue you. Can anybody say hallelujah to that scripture? Number five, trust allows God to provide direction. Whether in abundance or lack, often God is able to show us his unique plan. By following our own path, we may miss the very opportunities God has for us in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 7:17 in the Living Bible, it says, but be sure in deciding these matters that you are living as God intended. In Luke 11:28, in the Amplify Bible, it says, but he said, blessed, happy, and to be envied, rather are those who hear the word of God and obey and practice it. It's not just enough, as we go over and over every day, really, to just hear the word. It's not enough to just obey it on occasion. We must apply it to our lives, because living the word must become a lifestyle for us. Number six, trust fosters self-control. Self-control is something that must be cultivated. It's a vital in the successful money management, and it will actually flow to every aspect of our life. Self-control is so important that it's a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. 5 verses 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. Self-control is a gift of God that the scripture says the Holy Spirit's presence develops within us. Furthermore, in 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Amplified Bible, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or of cowardice or craving and cringing and fawning fear. He has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Thank you, Jesus. Number seven, trust brings maturity. How we handle money is a reflection of our inner spirit. We mature or become perfected as we wait and trust God for his provision. Money, as we've said so many times, is neither good or bad. It's just a tool for exchange. It's how we handle or trust God with our finances that brings his blessing or could perhaps detour us to a place of lack. Perhaps that's why the scripture says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. I like referring to 2 Kings 18 in the Classic Amplified Bible, starting verse 5. It says, Hezekiah trusted and leaned on and was confident in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that neither after him nor before him was any one of all the kings of Judah like him. For he clung and held fast to the Lord and ceased not to follow him, but kept his commands as the Lord commanded Moses. And in verse 7 it says, and the Lord was with Hezekiah. He prospered wherever he went. One final thought as we pass along. Well, we've passed this along really in years gone past. To not chase after money, but to chase after God. And when we chase after God, then money will chase after us. Hey, have a wonderful Wednesday. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m., God bless you. And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you. We praise the Lord for you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.